Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go follow the road. I think everybody can tell your opinion, you know, but I think if you watch, really watch the games, you know, Draymond Green, you will never get the value in a trade back that Draymond Green means to this team. Game five, you know, he pinned Gasol down. He fronted him so they could not pass Gasol, and he sprinted Fly Lowry's shot. He was the reason they won that game. And game six, the reason they had a shot, Curry had a shot at the end, was because, as Jarrett Burke pointed out, his 19 rebounds to triple-double numbers. So that's, some players and people who really watch the game, I would almost trade Steph Curry first before I trade Draymond Green. So, I mean, call me crazy, but that's how I feel. Now, as far as Durant.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
You told me to call you crazy, so I did.
I think it was Mike, the caller or something, suggested that. So I disagree with that. As far as Durant leaving the money on the table, I think yes. I mean, we don't know how it feels, you know, in terms of all that money. But I think Ram is right. You know, if he does make that move, I think it'll be a stupid move on his part, because you never know. I mean, let's say he rehabs. You know, everyone expects him back, but what if he suffers as like a setback and, you know, like, oh, he had to go in for a second surgery. And suddenly that supermax or like the four-year max is not there anymore. So, I mean, if I was Durant, his representative, you take that five-year supermax and you take it to the bank for the Warriors. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the phone call, Joe. And just to let you know, as somebody on the Chilton Auto Body text line points out to us, and I appreciate that, that's from the 510, as far as already leaving a ton of money on the table, Durant's done that once. He left the max with the Thunder to come to the Dubs. And another thing that I think a lot of Warriors fans are conveniently forgetting, or at least the ones that want to go down Durant's road for any and all reasons, Durant is the only reason that Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston were able to be brought back. There's a reason. Look, the 1+1, not ideal in terms of having Durant under contract. Clearly, this was the opposite of ideal this year, just the way everything was handled. But don't forget, there's a few things I don't want anyone to ever forget about Kevin Durant. One of them is that he did not bail on the Thunder. He re-signed with the Thunder after his rookie contract was up. In fact, it was a day or two before or after LeBron made that big, huge to-do about the decision. Okay, it's going to give money to the Boys and Girls Club, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to crush the hopes and dreams of these little kids in front of me, but I'm going to give them some cash on the way out. That's my stance on the decision. Right after that, Kevin Durant announces that he's going to re-sign with the Thunder. How does he do it? With a tweet. I mean, now we hear that and we think, of course he did it with a tweet. But back then, he wasn't known as a social media freak, or however you feel about him in social media. But it has to be said, KD gave 8-9 years of his career to the Thunder. He was not disloyal to them. He, in fact, was loyal to them by re-signing with them after his rookie deal was up. He also came here and, he gave up money. By coming here, he gave up more money with the Thunder. He could have got more money there. And then when he came here, he signed deals in working in concert, him and his reps and Bob Myers and Joe Lacob. What do you need to do to get these guys back? We can't just be the Hamptons Five and nothing else. Or hell, if Andre Iguodala is part of the Hamptons Five, they could not have kept Andre Iguodala without KD taking less in that second deal. So just remember all these things. I know some people want to make KD the villain and the bad guy. And look, if you're a bad guy for being a little bit odd, then me and virtually every one of my friends and relatives is a bad guy because we're all a little bit odd in our way. And KD's oddness is harmless. And what we need KD for, what we want KD for, what we like to have KD for, is to play great basketball. And what does he do? He plays great basketball every time he goes out there. I just don't get that there still is KD hate out there. I don't understand it. 707 says, hang up on this guy immediately. Trade Steph before Draymond? Joe must be smoking. Yeah, that's a bit much. Look, Steph's never going to get traded, ever. Draymond might. I don't want Draymond to get traded, but he might. They're going to do whatever it takes to make their team better. Only they get to make that decision. I would love Draymond to be a Warrior for life. But look, as fans, don't we all want all the good Warriors to be Warriors for life? Sure we do. By the way, I'm wondering if there's any Warriors fans out there that were holding out hope that, okay, we lose KD, we wait a year, and then we go get AD. AD replaces KD. Well, that's not going to happen because now he's a Laker. For whatever reason, I don't know, I've watched Anthony Davis play a lot of basketball, and he's a great, great basketball player. I just have never been that into his game. It's like there's certain players in the NBA, if I'm flicking through the channels and I see they're playing, I'll stop. I'm watching him. Giannis, of course, is one of those guys. The Sixers, because of Embiid and Simmons. There's about, I don't know, 8 or 10 guys out there that would probably stop me in my tracks and say I'm watching them because they're one of the greatest players in the league. Anthony Davis is not one of them. I won't stop just to watch Anthony Davis play. His game bores me just a little bit. Great game, just bores me a little bit. Okay, we are going to take one break, only one more break until 4 o'clock. After that, woo, we have got Matt and Jeff and Joe and anyone who wants to jump behind them. And then we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. I got some fun takes around the diamond, A's, Giants, the league at large. Did I give you your wing yet? Did we go over that? Did I remind them that I had already told them? Rodney Hood, you got that? Okay, Rodney Hood. We're also going to be talking with RJ Anderson. He's going to do some of that baseball talking with us. And then we go to Good for Ball, Bad for Ball. You get to play along with that as well. And we're bringing in a special guest to really, really make it pop. The Raptors are the world champions. The Warriors will get back there in a couple of years. And before we bounce it for, I'm going to make you feel really good about that. And then you get to share it with the guys on Warriors World from 4 to 6. On 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
No, somebody did not accidentally change the station in your car or on your radio. We are still 95.7 The Game. This is still your home to Warriors basketball and usually really good rejoin music, but today, this is our last rejoin. It's like Caddy Day on Caddyshack. Just throw a baby Ruth in the pool and see what happens. This is what happens when you give Gabe Osler free reign with the music. Love him, though. Love him. Hey, I just gave the Warriors.
I like his style.
Thank you. I just gave the Warriors the perfect threesome to help fill the holes they're going to have. And they're all going to be relatively cheap. JaVale McGee, Seth Curry, and Rodney Hood. Just go get him. Just go get him. And trust that Draymond and Steph are going to make things just fine. Kind of surprised. Had quite a few people say, yeah, they'd be okay with trading Draymond. The standard reason for it, the one I hear most frequently is, well, he's an undersized center, and he plays a very physical style of basketball, and he goes hard all the time, and he's always going up against guys who are bigger and stronger than him, and eventually that's going to wear him out. Yeah, eventually everybody's going to get worn out, but I don't see Draymond Green getting worn out just from playing basketball. I think Draymond Green knows how to take care of himself very well, and when he needs to adjust his training regimen, I think he will do it. I have no questions about Draymond's long-term durability. I just don't. Look, if he was a guy who is prone to be hurt, or if the style of basketball he plays, or playing against the big boy he plays against, if that was going to bring him down, it would have done it by now. Yeah, he's still in his prime, but I mean, he's had virtually no injuries that were the result of his style of play, right? And he hasn't missed a whole lot of time in his career. And I don't know. I think that's a lazy take. Oh, he's playing against bigger guys, so he's going to get hurt. He's going to wear down. I think that's just lack of respect for Draymond's game in general. And I have too much respect for his game. I would not trade him. I don't think you would ever get what you think is proper value, for one thing, because I do think the Warriors value him, and rightly so, more than any other team would. I think he fits best, perfectly, with this team. I don't think he'd fit great with every other team out there. I still think he'd be a great player on every other team out there. But there's a lot of people that I've heard say, nah, he's by far better off with the Warriors. He's going to be more effective. He's more useful. His style fits more with the Warriors. He's a really good fit. He's a great fit. He's a perfect fit with the Warriors. But come on, great basketball players, they're good fits on every basketball team. Let's go to Matt in Castro Valley. What's going on, Matt? You're on 95.7 again.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on air, guys. I just wanted to say I do believe Kevin Durant is going to leave based on a couple things. The first one is I do think Kevin Durant wants his own team. He wants to be the face. And if he re-signs Golden State, you're still going to have Curry there. You're still going to have Klay there. And it doesn't give him that full faith. He wants to be the only MVP there. He wants to run the team. He wants to run the full show.
What makes you think he wants to be the face of a franchise?
Well, because the first one is...
Okay, then. Exactly my point. You couldn't come up with one because he's never said that, nor have his agents, nor have unnamed sources. A lot of KD hate out there. That's fine. Whatever. He's a really good basketball player, and he's a good human being. Relax. You're lucky that Kevin Durant is on your team, and you're lucky that they're going to re-sign him. I really think that. I've thought that all along. I think anybody who says the injury changes anything, do you really think he had no idea whether he was going to come back or not until Game 5 of the NBA Finals? Let's go to Joe in Cupertino. Joe, what's going on? You're on 95.7 The Game. Happy Father's Day, brother. Joe, are you with us?
Oh, what? This is Joe Pano. Hey, how you doing, man?
Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Hey, listen, man. You know, first of all, too, when I mentioned Draymond Green possibly being traded, he couldn't hang up fast enough on me. He said I was insane. But here, I think Draymond... I'm thinking of Draymond. First of all, the team that plays closest to the Warriors would probably maybe the Celtics, the same style, Cobo, similar, right? And what do you think about Jaylen Brown, maybe in a draft choice? You know, maybe want to do those draft choices of Jaylen Brown and have a Jaylen Brown come out to the Warriors.
I don't think the Celtics want to give up Jaylen Brown, do they?
Yeah, well, I don't think. I don't know.
I mean, why would you? He's 22, right? Is he 22?
He's a young kid, yeah. I know that. He's really young, a lot of promise. But I'm just wondering, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, the Celtics, Danny Ainge, he's going to take everybody's calls and do all that. And I do think Draymond would be a fantastic fit with the Celtics, too. But I don't think they want to give up any of the young guys that they feel real good about. That's why I think that, you know, if Kyrie Irving leaves, and it sounds like there's a better-than-average chance that he will leave, I think the Celtics are okay with that based on the young talent they have on the roster, which means if Kyrie leaves, they're definitely not going to give up that young talent.
Yeah. Well, anyway, cool. Well, listen, thanks for taking the call. Great show, man.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. That's Joe in Cupertino. Our last guest, or our last announced guest of the day, is going to help us pivot to some Major League Baseball. Yes, they actually are still playing Major League Baseball. Even though the Warriors didn't win the world title, they decided the Major League Baseball season is going to continue. He's a staff writer for CBS Sports, specializing in Major League Baseball. His name is R.J. Anderson. You can follow him on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson. R.J., how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. I'm a little bit, I don't want to say depressed, but saddened by the end of the Warriors season. But I am a baseball guy first and foremost, and so now I get to turn my attention strictly to baseball here in the Bay Area. And while the A's are finally starting to put things together and they're becoming the team I think we all thought they would be coming out of spring training, the Giants are doing that too, and that's not so much of a good thing. Is there anything you can tell our audience, the Giants fans among our audience, that might make them feel better about the rest of the summer?
Well, they won 3 World Series in the last decade or so that's a good start, right? But unfortunately, you know, when you're as competitive as the Giants have been over the last decade, at some point you have to pay rent for that. And right now the Giants are paying that rent in the form of, you know, multiple losing seasons. And, you know, you look at the roster and unfortunately better days aren't so close, because this is going to be a team that's in the midst of a long rebuild process, a retool process, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, Farhan Zaidi, he has a great track record as an executive, and he's going to start deconstructing this team in the coming weeks. I mean, I fully expect them to be a seller at the deadline, trading away Bumgarner, Smith, maybe even some of the other pitchers there. And, you know, he has his work cut out for him, because unfortunately that's an old team without much in the way of prospect help and without much in the way of payroll flexibility. So it's going to be a process. But again, if you want a bright side, if you're a Giants fan, remember, you won 3 World Series in the last decade.
3 titles in the last decade, and that's going to make you feel better in August. How?
It's a fair point. You know, when you're watching this team struggle to score runs, you know, the glory days are going to feel far, far away. But at the same time, again, you've won, and brighter days probably will come at some point, just not probably within the next year.
Yeah, like you said, Farhan does have a record, and you're just going to have a little bit of faith in him. They brought him in from the outside, and I think there's a little bit of a hesitancy there. Adding to the hesitancy is that Farhan's background is with the Oakland A's and the Los Angeles Dodgers, the two teams that the Giants and their fans dislike the most. But I do believe there's going to be better times. However, I'm thinking while they might get what they expect to get back from Bumgarner, I don't know that they'll ever get what they think fair value is for Buster Posey, because I don't think they have accepted what the rest of baseball has seen, is that this guy is a shell of himself. I thought maybe the hip, you know, when I heard the hip was hurting, at first I thought it was a good thing. Okay, now we have something that actually explains his drop in power production. But he got his hip fixed, and he's not a whole lot more powerful, so it looks like we just have a guy who handles the staff really well, and that's about it.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, when you look at some of the park-adjusted numbers, it's not like he is, you know, a horrible hitter.
Right.
He's just not what he used to be. I believe his OPS plus entering today was around 90. So that's respectable with what he brings to the table defensively, but it certainly does look like he is no longer an MVP caliber hitter. Now, at the same time, you know, maybe the hip is still bothering him. You know, maybe there's some other physical issue there, but, you know, he's a catcher who is entering his mid-30s or about to enter his mid-30s, and unfortunately, you know, they don't always age gracefully.
You think there's any value out there for Brandon Belt?
You know, I think so, but at the same time, we've seen teams show a lot of hesitancy to acquire players owed money, and we've seen them show a lot of hesitancy to acquire corner players. And Brandon Belt is obviously a first baseman. I guess in theory, you could throw him in left field if you really wanted to, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm sure the Giants will be taking calls and chopping him around a little bit just to see what's out there, but it feels like we've been talking about the Giants trading Brandon Belt for years now,
yeah.
And until I see it happen, I'm not sure I'll believe it.
Yeah, it doesn't just feel like it. We have been talking about that for years, RJ. We're talking with RJ Anderson. He writes for CBS Sports, specializing in baseball, of course. So let's go across the bay. As I said, the Oakland A's seem to be kind of rounding into form. They got off to a slow start. I don't know if that was tied to the trip to Japan or not. They still have a ton of starting pitchers that are on the mend, and so I think things will get better as the season goes along. But what was the outside looking in at Oakland, was it, yeah, nice year last year, but that was probably lightning in a bottle, they'll come back to earth next year? Or was it, hey, they're building something special?
well, at least from my perspective, it was that they had a good lineup and they needed to get lucky and get good with the starting pitching they have. And unfortunately, you know, they've suffered some injuries to some of their top young arms. And A.J. Puck last year, he's still recovering from that. And then this year with Jesus Luzardo. And, you know, Luzardo was kind of viewed as a potential savior for that rotation.
Yeah.
Because when they entered the year with Fires and Estrada at the top and also Brett Anderson, you know, that looks like a good team 3-5 rather than 1-3. Now, to their credit, they have really played well over the last 30 games. I believe they have a top 10 record in baseball. And it seems like Puck and Luzardo are making progress. And, you know, if those guys can slot into your rotation in the second half of the season, and if they can hit the ground running, then all of a sudden this Oakland team does seem like a potential threat to take a wild card spot. And I don't think they're going to, you know, I don't think they're going to chase down Houston, but I do think that they're going to be in the wild card race provided they can get healthy, stay healthy, and get something more out of the rotation than what they've gotten so far.
We're talking with RJ Anderson, a little bit of big league baseball. He's a staff writer for CBS Sports. RJ, let's stay in the American League West. Mike Trout needs to get into some playoff games if he's ever going to be recognized as the ungodly good player that he is. Are the Angels, in your mind, are they within a year or two of being a regular playoff contender? Because, look, he just signed the extension. He must be thinking that.
Yeah, I think they are. You know, the problem with the Angels team has really been the rotation. And their general manager, Billy Epler, is really, really good at finding value on the margins. And they have a number of interesting position players on the way in terms of prospects. I mean, they have an outfielder named Joe Adell. He has star potential. He could be up in the majors this year or next year. And you add him to Trout, you add him to Shohei Ohtani, you add him to Andrelton Simmons and even Justin Upton, and you're talking about the making of a pretty good lineup. The problem, though, they average, I believe, the fewest amount of innings per start of any team in baseball. The Matt Harvey and Trevor Cahill deals, which look kind of savvy at the time, have completely busted. So, you know, they need to find starting pitching. They need to find a way to keep that starting pitching healthy. And if they can do that, then, yeah, they should be a playoff contender. Unfortunately, you know, it's been a big, big challenge for them over the last few years to do that. So, you know, is it a luck thing? Is it just a matter of, you know, enough opportunities and they'll finally run into a rotation that works? Or is there some kind of error in how they either evaluate or coordinate or train their pitchers? I don't really know. But my guess is it's some combination thereof, and hopefully they can change that. Because you're right, until Trout actually gets into the postseason, I think people are going to continue to hold out against him.
RJ Anderson covers baseball for CBS Sports. RJ, when after about, I don't look at the league leaders until about a month into the season, and every year I find at least a couple of names I didn't expect to be there, and so it's kind of cool. I find out there's a new good player out there that I get to learn about and watch and enjoy. Who might a couple of those players be for you this year? Who has kind of come out of nowhere?
Well, I think Cody Bellinger, for one thing, you know him, but I think he's taking that next step this season. I don't think he really counts because he was already known as a good player. But if we're talking about a guy who came out of almost literally nowhere, I would throw Spencer Turnbull into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a starting pitcher for the Tigers. You know, the Tigers have a lot of intriguing pitching prospects, and he really wasn't on the radar. I think most people thought that he was going to be a reliever, but his fastball-slider combination has allowed him to jockey into position. He's arguably, you know, the league favorite for Rookie of the Year, depending on how voters view him versus, say, Brandon Lau of the Rays. And I would also throw Lau into that conversation. You know, he strikes out a lot for someone who doesn't really look like a power hitter. You know, I think he's like 6 foot, between 6 foot and 6 foot two. He's a second baseman / left fielder, but he's got a lot of power. So I think those are two guys you could probably throw into the conversation as kind of surprises who most people didn't know about entering the season, but who are now producing at the plate and on the mound.
All right, let's talk about free agency. And it was slow last year. It was slow this year. It's probably going to be slow again next year. Anytime you got a guy like Dallas Keuchel, who's unsigned as late as he was, I'm surprised that I'm not hearing more whispers of collusion. Are you hearing anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the way I put it in the past is we may not have a smoking gun, but if you look around, you'll find a lot of shell casings.
Yeah.
The owners have absolutely weaponized free agency against players, and you're seeing that with the amount of extensions being signed by veterans who are a year or two away from free agency. I mean, it's absolutely a bad sign for the game's health when guys like Nolan Arenado and Mike Trout and even Paul Goldschmidt are afraid to hit free agency because they're not certain that they'll get a fair shake. You know, that's a bad sign for baseball. And I know people say, oh, you know, it's great that they're staying with the teams that, you know, they were brought up with were, you know, their original team or what have you. But when you look at the underlying reasons for that, it's a really bad sign. And it's not because these teams are rewarding their franchise players, because their franchise players are scared witless that they're going to be unemployed next June or July, no matter how good they perform. So, yeah, baseball has a lot of problems, a lot of potentially corrosive problems, and the weaponization of free agency is really close to the top of the list.
Yeah, and it's phenomenal. It surprises me because I've heard since I was a kid that, oh, baseball's players union is unbelievable and they take care of their own like nobody else's. And for them, they signed off on this in the CBA, and so they're partly culpable for this, right? The players themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about Tony Clark as a human being. I don't want to say anything negative about him as a human being, but he is a former ball player in a position where you really need a skilled negotiator, a lawyer, or some kind of person with negotiating history. And I've heard through agents that he doesn't listen to agents who are skilled negotiators as often as some of his predecessors. On the other side of things, you have Rob Manfred, who, keep in mind, the commissioner wasn't always supposed to be working for the owners, but that's definitely what they do nowadays.
Yeah.
Manfred has been trained for this. He has spent more than two decades as one of the negotiators for Major League Baseball. And I don't want to make it out to be a huge mismatch, but I think, yeah, it's probably a huge mismatch. You have basically a professional shark versus a guy who, again, nothing against Tony Clark as a human being, but he is not trained for this. And, you know, to Clark's credit, to the union's credit, they have spent the past year or so adding more skilled negotiators, more people with experience in these fields, including a guy from the NHL. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this next CBA battle plays out, but I suspect there's going to be a work stoppage, and I really don't see any way around that, because I think that's what's going to take for the players to get a better deal.
So when is the deal up? When would we see the work stoppage?
I believe it's up after the 2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, you know, there have been rumblings about, well, maybe we should strike before then or what have you. Yeah. I don't know if that's likely, but I do think it's possible that we would see a work stoppage before then if it ultimately does result in a work stoppage.
Just that we're talking about it at all, it's bad for ball. We're talking with R.J. Anderson. He covers baseball for CBS Sports. R.J., before the season started, much was made about some of the new rules that they're going to be trying out, I think, in the Sally League, right? And
yeah,
one of them made me, I almost fell out of my chair. It's the dumbest thing I have ever heard, moving the mound back a couple of feet.
Yeah, you know, there are so many issues with that.
You'll destroy arms if you do that.
Exactly, yes. And I don't know, baseball has this really great skill. Anytime they want to solve a problem, they end up creating 30 additional problems from whatever their solution is. And I think that's one of those issues that, you know, if you want to fix the imbalance in baseball right now, unjuice the ball, you know, or call the strikes in the way it's supposed to be called. Or, you know, there's so many other potential solutions that are not going to necessarily lead to injuries. And yet, here we are talking about moving back the mound or, you know, all this other wild stuff. And it's unfortunate because, you know, when you look at baseball right now, there is so much young talent in the game, and they should be marketing these guys, and they should be promoting them. This is potentially a golden age of baseball from a talent perspective, and instead we talk about should they move the mound back. I mean, it drives me crazy sometimes.
And you have Manfred putting his foot in his mouth by basically saying, well, Mike Trout needs to do a better job of marketing himself. No, dummy, you need to help out in that regard. Right? That's why my biggest disappointment about Manfred is that I thought – Just by nature of not being Bud Selig, it's an upgrade. But as you mentioned, Bud groomed him to basically be a lapdog for the owners. And he made a ton of money for the owners. And that's why he goes into the Hall of Fame without any weight. And Rob Manfred is just, you know, Selig in another body.
Yeah. And, you know, with the Trout thing, you know, I'm a writer. Sometimes the subject that you want to write about doesn't want you to write about them. Sometimes they won't cooperate. So
right.
How do you do that? You give up or do you write around them? Well, you write around them. You talk to people around. You know, they could run a 30-second ad where other big leaguers talk about why Trout's so great.
Showing his mind-blowing highlights. RJ, me and you parking in the same garage, man. I've been saying that for a couple of years. You don't need him to participate.
No, you don't. Just flash his stats. You know, flash how he compares to Ken Griffey Jr. or Mickey Mantle or whomever. And then with the Manfred stuff, I mean, you know, the thing about Steve that really is amazing is that he was a team owner when he was named commissioner, and, you know, we just, like, accepted that, oh, yeah, the commissioner can be a team owner. That's insane. Imagine any other sport doing that right now. We would all flip out if a team owner was named commissioner, and yet he got away with it.
Yeah. But he sold his part of the club, right, to his daughter.
Yeah, later on. But still, you know, there's a conflict of interest there that was never really addressed.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, in case you haven't picked up. All right, before first off, thank you again for your time on a Sunday. I'm sure I'll be hitting you up later as the season progresses. But for now, before we even reach the midseason point, I'm going to ask you ridiculously to make a prediction for the World Series.
Yeah, I had the Yankees Nationals in the preseason. So that shows how smart I am about this stuff. But I would still stick with the Yankees. And in the National League, I suppose I'd just roll with the Dodgers. I think they have the easiest path to the postseason in the NL. And it's a very good team, so you can't go wrong picking them.
Is Bellinger going to be the NL MVP?
He looks like it right now, right?
So far, yeah. Any chance Bryce gets smoking hot and gets Philly to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that. You know, Bryce is Bryce. Unfortunately, he's a little bit more J.D. Drew than Barry Bonds, but there's still value in that.
Yeah, I agree completely. Much like many things in sports that puzzle me is the people that can't stand Bryce Harper. All he does is play really hard and put up big numbers. I like those types of guys there, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, he gets on base almost 40% of the time, and he slugs a lot of home runs. I know he's not Barry Bonds, but he's a good player. And unfortunately, you know, Bryce Harper, the brand, yeah, it's bigger than Bryce Harper, the player, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player by any means.
Or a bad guy. Hey, RJ, I really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and again, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you. RJ Anderson, he writes baseball for CBS Sports, and we are F-wording. Let me get to the Chilton Autobody text line, because there's some good texts that I have marked to make sure that I get to. One of them, and I like this, that somebody enjoyed it, because some people said we were being immature. Wait, on Sports Talk Radio? Immaturity? That never happens. Last week, Jalen Rose was trying to talk about Kevin Durant, and he misspoke. And he said his name, and the reason we use it is because he was so adamant about it by starting it with, his name is Kevin DeGrant. So we ran with it, and we played it a bunch, and we had a good time, and a couple people were upset about it. But we do have somebody on the text. By the way, my son and I loved you playing Kevin DeGrant last Sunday. Talking about who the Warriors should add, we must always consider guys who will fit the chemistry. Agreed, and I think Bob Myers does. Look, anytime they're looking at adding a player, Myers will talk to him, Kerr will talk to him, probably some of the coaches will talk to him, and then the Warriors and their staff will go talk to guys who played with the player they might be interested in. Only then, if they hear, yeah, good dude. That's all you need to hear. You don't need to hear what guys who played with him think of the way he plays, because you're not always going to get the perfect objective opinions when you ask that. Because every player thinks he's better than this player or that player or whatever. I'm going to watch a player, and if he's a great player and I want him, then I'll go find out if he's got character, if he's a good fit. I don't need to go ask other people for their opinions on him as a basketball player. That's my job. Part of my job also is to ask people who know about his character. I know the Warriors know about everybody's basketball capabilities out there. But would you not be willing to, I don't know, take on a player that might have a couple of warts character-wise? Of course you would. That's what they did with JaVale McGee. That's what they did with Boogie Cousins. That's what they did with Swaggy P. Why do you do that? When can you do that? When you feel so good about the character that you already have that it will overwhelm any character flaw that comes into it and maybe reverse that character flaw. Like I said, JaVale came here in part to rehab his image. And he did. He came here, he had warts, and he was a great teammate and everybody loved him to the point where a sports talk radio jackass 2 years later is saying, bring him on back. I'd be fine with JaVale coming back. They need another body. They need someone to rim run. JaVale's never going to get the money he thinks he deserves. And I'm not taking a shot at him. I just don't think he realizes he's just one of those guys who's just kind of a roster filler. And those guys, if you can find a niche, if you can find a way to excel in a particular role, especially if it's a narrow role for which not many players are suited, which is that rim runner, rim protector that JaVale is more than anything else, not a lot of guys can fit that role. So find a squad that needs what you have and should be all good. I think it will be. All right. We are we're going to keep efforting for a very special guest, but while we do that, we're going to go ahead and start the game. It's everybody's favorite weekend game on the radio.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
All right, we do mean everything in life can be labeled one of two ways. If you hang out with me all day, God bless you for doing that. Not many people want to. But if you do, you'll get to hear me say good for ball or bad for ball a number of times, 15, 20, 25. I'll say it about anything. Like, I'm sitting next to you in a restaurant. You're at a table. You're at the booth next to mine. You blow your nose and you throw your tissue across the aisle directly into the wastebasket. I'll give you a good for ball for that. Bad for ball, you blowing your nose in the next booth so loudly that I notice, but still, we'll give you the good for ball for making the bucket. I want to make sure that everybody knows it's not just sports, not just baseball. Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball. I will give you a good for ball from my day so far. My freshly 16-year-old daughter and her 14-year-old sister picked me up in my daughter's car and took me to breakfast for Father's Day. One of those milestone moments where your daughter's picking you up in her car for the first time ever, and it's on Father's Day, and I got the omelet that I wanted. Good times, good for ball. Wes, will you share for the audience a bad for ball from your day or for your weekend?
Good for ball watching Copa America in Spanish. Soccer is better in Spanish, ladies and gentlemen. Andres Cantor is better for soccer.
How about bad for ball? You got one?
Today was a pretty great day, so bad for ball.
You're kind of asking us to be negative back here. I think it's a big sunshine and rainbows booth, really.
Okay.
We're just having a good time.
Okay, and you are?
Me? My name is Gabriel Osler. Okay. I'm your producer. I think we've met before. I'm one of the few people who does like hanging out with you on a regular basis. And I've written up this good for ball, bad for ball that I would like to read with you, if that's okay.
I appreciate that. And you are a fine writer. The apple, the fruit doesn't fall all that far from the tree. Gabe's dad, Scott, joined us a little bit earlier. He's a lauded columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Gabe, he does pretty good work with a keyboard, too. So let's go, Gabe. Good for ball, bad for ball is yours.
Well, it is Father's Day in general and for this edition of Good for Ball, Bad for Ball. Sports do go on during this holiday, but Royals catcher Martin Maldonado wanted to make sure the dads were not forgotten and honored them by making his uniform a bit more formal by attaching a clip-on tie. He took the field and played as normal with this baby blue adornment. Matched his gear phenomenally, I will say, and I gave you a little bit of a visual there so you can peruse it as well. Sartorial tributes to the dads out there. Good for ball or bad for ball?
Oh, that is so good for... I'm glad you gave me the visual. This is so good for ball. It's not just good for ball. It's silly. It's funny. It's all the things that baseball tries really hard not to be, but it's being it, and that's good for ball.
And if you watch the actual video clip, the extra good for ball part, as I thought maybe, you know, it's pressed on, iron on, maybe sewn in or anything like that. No, he's just got the clip. So it flutters in the breeze a little bit, and you see it behaves like a tie, and it's just got that perfect amount of whimsy where you're like, okay, people cannot take themselves so seriously. It feels fantastic.
Perfect amount of whimsy. Yeah, I like it. When you were telling me, I was envisioning it being clipped onto the T-shirt under his jersey, and so that I thought the tie would be tucked into the jersey. But no, this is on the outside of his catcher's gear.
Yeah, on the chest protector right there.
What is it? It looks like there's a bunch of things written on the tie. I can't read it.
I was not given any of that intel. I tried to slow it down a little bit in the frame, so if I could read it, my best guess would be those would be the names of his children.
There's a good one, yeah. Hey. I'll buy that. If that's not what it is, it should be that. All right, Gabe, that's good for ball. I'm going to give it a huge good for ball. Great for ball.
All right, well, the NBA draft is coming up, and the consensus number two prospect behind Zion Williamson is Ja Morant, the Murray State product famous for storming into the national consciousness out of basically nowhere. Well, guess what?
First name, Ja. Gotta like that. There's only one other guy whose first name is Ja, and he's a rapper who is no longer relevant.
Well, he's relevant for being a famous grifter, but that's not really what you want your legacy to
grifter,
be.
I like that.
It was revealed during the recent E60 feature on Morant that his rise to prominence was even more improbable than you'd imagine. Listen to Morant and Murray State assistant James Kent tell you how it went down.
I got added to the camp late. They was calling off the roster, and they was like, if I don't call your name, then go to the other gym. My name wasn't called, so I went to the back gym.
James Kane from Murray State University was there recruiting another player in the main gym when he got hungry. He was directed down a hallway to a concession stand.
I ordered some Doritos and a soda. I was able to hear the balls bouncing in the auxiliary gym.
Ended up peeking his head in the gym and was watching for a couple minutes. I guess that's when he seen me.
Just a few minutes of watching Ja, you just knew he was special.
I was happy just to get off from a school like that.
Finding star prospects because you get hit by an urge to snack. Herbs, is that good for ball or bad for ball?
I think that's great for ball, too. Now, what I need to know is what kind of snack did he get? Did he like, or was he so distracted he never even went to the vending machine?
No, that was in the, he got a soda and Doritos.
Doritos, that's right.
Choice.
He did say Doritos. Yeah. All right, well, first off, when Ja Morant goes to the pros, has he hired an agent? Is he officially a pro?
Yeah, he's declared.
Okay. If you're Doritos, have you not already reached out to this guy?
Well, because we all know Sprite has their fingers in all sorts of NBA merchandising right now.
Right.
So, yeah, this is soda, chips, a little snack combo, the kind of thing that you would get with a Subway sandwich or something like that. This is taking off in my mind already.
And if you're Ja Morant and Doritos comes to you and your crew and they want to do some advertising with you, whatever, you make damn sure that Murray State assistant James Kane is in that commercial, right?
Oh, he deserves it.
Yeah, you got to share your chips with him at the very least. All right, what else you got?
Well, the juice is loose. Just going to have to cut to the chase on that one. He is loose, O.J. Simpson, released from prison, and now released from any other sort of obligations and has put himself on social media, on Twitter.
Oh.
Now, I talked with the lovely Joe Sherry, making sure that there wasn't too much overlay from yesterday's edition of Good for Ball, Bad for Ball, and he said that we touched on this, but OJ has released another video statement on Twitter, and it's ostensibly commemorating Father's Day as a holiday, but there's a bit more to it. So
let's
I thought
have
that
it.
You would want
I'm
to
excited.
Give it a listen, and we'll see how it sounds.
Thank you.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they want to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, Happy Father's Day, and God bless.
And it
if
just
it doesn't
cuts
fit,
off right there.
You must acquit.
Getting access to all of OJ's opinions about sports, about politics, what have you, is it good for ball or is it bad for ball?
It's bad for ball. I mean, it's almost so bad for ball that it's good for ball. Because it's just ridiculous, and there is room for ridiculous in my life, but I need less OJ in my. I'm done with OJ. I've had my OJ fill. I feel like I've bled that dry. There's nothing OJ can add, and especially when he's saying that he's going to right some wrongs, and didn't he say in one of them that he's payback time or something
he's
like that?
He's got a lot of getting even to do was in his opening statement, which I don't.
Yeah, getting even like with who? Who wronged OJ?
Well, you know, all the people who have been able to talk with impunity this entire time about his crimes,
no,
I guess.
No accountability whatsoever from OJ.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
You love that. By the way, Wes, we did some LeVar Ball yesterday, and I didn't have
you. Stay in your lane.
Thank you. Give me another.
I'm undefeated. Never lost.
And my favorite? What's my favorite?
Tell Donald Trump to have a great Thanksgiving, because Big Baller is.
Oh, that is my favorite. That's the best. Beautiful. You got another one for us?
Very last one. All plastic right. bags, bad for the environment, if not bad for ball. Stores have started dissuading customers from using them in various ways. There's the bag tax, you know, that California has.
Yep.
Well, the East-West market in Vancouver has taken a different tack. They have started manufacturing their own plastic bags with embarrassing fake businesses on the side. Yes.
Ooh.
If you want to carry away your groceries in some plastic, you'll have to do so in something labeled either Weird Adult Video Emporium or Wart Ointment Wholesale.
Or IHateKittens.com.
Trying to shame your customers into environmental consciousness, is that good for ball or bad for ball?
That's good for ball. I love them for doing it. I love Warriors World, Sam, and God, I'm blanking. Sam and Andy. And Carl Buschek. They're coming up next. Warriors World. Warriors didn't win the title, but you know what? The Raptors did, and Canadians are nice people. Be nice to the Warriors World, boys. 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.